Welcome back, everyone. More importantly, welcome me back because I'm back. How's it going, everybody? Happy Friday. I'm here. I'm Johnny Rolla. Hey, Brett Ehrlich, you're here too. How's it going?
Yeah, just one second. Hello, Southwest 949er. Where are you? Let me just write this down in crayon because that's our system. Can you? I'm going to write it in Burt's Bees. Go ahead.
It's
go,
probably
go
good.
Go for 929er.
Probably good. Yeah. Anyway, yes. So that's a general problem for the country. Also, I didn't get to go on my trip, which is fun and expensive to not go on a trip. But anyway, very glad to be back here. How's it going, Brett?
Wait, it was why was it expensive?
Well, I had like tickets, and now there was stuff that was bought. I was able to resell them, but at a pretty significant loss. They're not Taylor Swift or anything, but it did cost a little bit of money. And also, it's not like here at TYT we take lots of full weeks off to have one that was supposed to be a big trip. Anyway, I don't want to complain. It affected a lot of people, but I'm very glad that you're here. I also want to thank Ben Gleib and Francesca for doing an amazing job of filling in throughout the week. I was tuning in. I know a lot of you were. Things did a great job. Also, can I just say, we had the beginnings of a turnover in our staff before this last week happened, and of course it's a week where I was gone. And I just discovered when I got in today that I had been very wrong about what I thought the timeline was. I thought I had a little bit more time with the producers moving on. Marisa did amazing work for a bunch of months. Was a great, awesome, positive member of the team who has now moved on. And we always want to acknowledge when we have a loss to our team. We're gonna get someone new, in the next month or so, but it is sort of sad. So that's the bad holiday news. Other than that, Brett, I think pretty much all the news is good today.
Yeah, all the news is everybody's good great. News today. I feel good. And my friend John's back. He had time in town. He didn't call me to hang out. I don't begrudge him that. Seems like he's kind of made his point without having to say anything. That's super alpha of him. So
we effectively, my wife and I, treated it as a staycation where we spent a lot of time together and watched a lot of Christmas movies.
So COVID era, got it. Anyway, so John, I did return your Oculus that someone gave you. I put it back. So I also forgot to log out of the streaming services that I logged into. And then I would say burn the search history. But at this point, maybe you might want to burn the Oculus. Just burn the device. Yeah, I think we both are on the same page with that. Just actually throw it in a river of lava if you can, because there is no amount of cleaning. Thank you.
Anyway, by the way, because you went into the studio yesterday to return that, but also to do the Turks and Jerks, Brett got to see that I'm using his desk as storage as I sell board games. So his desk is covered in like 20 board games I need to transition out of my collection. So sorry about that, Brett.
John and I built the wall yesterday. I was like, wow. I thought these were for me. Apparently they are not. So I built the wall. I basically just like moved.
You can have as many of them as you want.
I don't know. Again, didn't call me, didn't say, Brett, do you want some board games? I'm just gonna sell them on eBay. It's fine.
Probably locally, honestly. I don't want to deal with shipping. Anyway, so that's all of these self-indulgence I'll make time for after my return. But I am very glad to be back here. Thank you everyone for tuning in during my absence. But much more importantly, today while I am here, because we got a lot to talk about. Not only are we going to be catching up with some of the updates on two of the big stories of the week, George Santos and Andrew Tate, we've got that. Young working class Americans getting spit in the face by a billionaire, always fun. We'll talk about that too. Insider trading effectively in Congress is gonna be fun. But after the first hour, stick around because we've got a supersized garbage block. We will be giving you our garbage people of the week, but also breaking down our garbage people of 2023, which Brett and I have been doing for a few years now. Maybe we'll take a little walk down memory lane and figure out who was the last couple of garbage people of the year. But anyway, with all that, please hit the like button, share the stream so that people know we're live and active. And if you want to send us any comments, tweets, or super chats, we'll respond as we go. Oh, I also want to say, I have already got my like short list of garbage people of the year picked out, but I'm leaning towards our Blue Apron gift card member receiver of the day being someone who can remind me of a very deserving person that I hadn't thought of. I think that would be fun. There's a couple of really high profile ones that all of us could name. But if you can come up with someone very deserving of the title of Garbage Person of 2022, then you might earn a Blue Apron gift card. So we'll see about that.
John, did you anyway. Just further gamify the game?
I'm trying to gamify literally everything, especially because I don't have a lot of time in my life to game. This is the gaming for me. Anyway, we're gonna have a battle pass for Damage Report in 2023, so stay tuned for that. We sort of do actually. Anyway,
and the skins we sell are actual skin.
I'm not Blake Masters. Anyway, you ready to do this thing?
Yep, let's get into it.
Okay, let's talk about some news. I went away for a week and I did not expect that when I came back, I would be talking about yet more lies of George Santos, but specifically lies about the tragic death of a parental figure. And look, I don't even know what to make of this, but we're gonna lay out what we appear to know at this point. The tweet that set off a lot of discussion was from George Santos back in 2021. Tweet that says, 9/11 claimed my mother's life, so I'm blocking, so I don't ever have to read this again. That is, you know, a bold claim. And look, if, you know, 9/11 had claimed the life of one of your, you know, relatives, you'd be very sensitive about it. But it does not appear that that's very accurate. First of all, journalist Yashar Ali flagged the tweet. So he was the one who originally raised them. And there's a lot of other details here. So despite saying there that 9/11 claimed the life of his mom, in a later period of 2021, tweeted December 23rd this year marks 5 years I lost my best friend and mentor, which would have put the unfortunate passing of George Santos's mother in 2016. And it appears that that is actually accurate because there's an obituary up that you can see that does put it at December 2016. So that 5 years thing seems to be accurate. It is notably 15 years after 9/11. And when you go to his bio, on his website, which I believe is still up, it says she survived the tragic events on September 11th, supposedly being there, but she passed away a few years later when she lost her battle to cancer. And that's where things get kind of complicated because a lot of people did survive what happened in the towers and then did tragically pass from a variety of different medical ailments, including cancers. And I'm not a doctor, but it does seem possible that she could have struggled with cancer for 15 years and eventually passed. But saying that it took her life, we can debate that. But in particular, that she passed away a few years later, I don't want to be pedantic. I don't want to be, you know, Stannis, but is 15 years a couple of years? I don't know, Brett. I want to bring you in because this appears to have some basis in truth, which makes it novel for a story about George Santos. But he has, I think, led us to need to question everything that he says, especially things that present him in a sympathetic light. And so what do you think about this? What do you think's going on?
I think there are so many other lies that Santos has told where I don't think he really earns our sympathy or attempts to give him benefits of doubts. And also, like, 9/11 claimed my mother's life. Where are the other tweets about the carcinogens released into the air as a result of that? Where's your advocacy for that? Nowhere. I feel like the most important part of that original tweet, not to bring it back to something serious, but if you can go to graphic one, who he's replying to, I think this really strikes a chord with the TYT audience. Not Bolsonaro SP, but I come for Mao.
I didn't notice that. Of course you did.
So this guy's like, you know what I want to, who I want to remind the seriousness of 9/11? I come for Mao. Like, this guy is a ridiculous person. This guy may have lost his parents to 9/11, his mother to 9/11, and the long tail of it due to cancers caused for people in the area. Was she in, you said the word presumably when you said that she was in the area during 9/11. Is that true? Can we say
he says
that true?
He says it is. I like to assume that people are telling the truth. I know I come off as like a cynic or a D or whatever on YouTube, but I generally try to assume that people are telling the truth.
But like, but yeah, maybe Steve Ranazzisi said he was in 9/11 and used that to catapult his career. I think his name is Ranazzisi, the guy from The League.
Yes.
But it was found out that he exaggerated that to make the tragedy about him. This guy is absolutely a pathological liar. Yeah. And we should not give him the benefits of any doubt.
Yeah. By the way, in case I don't know, maybe you're coming in to this story late. I'm gonna remind you through the big lies, but first, just a quick moment of fun. I love this. Back in August of 2021, he tweeted in all caps, "Biden is a pathological liar." Which, you know, case could be made, I suppose. We've critiqued Biden's lies in the past, but people love to see in others the thing with which they're struggling. That's very much true here. Why is it that we would question George Santos's account of what happened to his mother, as uncomfortable a thing to do as that is? And the fact that it's around 9/11 obviously makes people really uncomfortable. I don't feel comfortable doing this. It's because of the lies. And like, I just want to remind you of a few of the big ones. So obviously, you know, I didn't get to talk about this directly, but I believe Francesca talked about it. Despite public comments about being of Jewish heritage, he later told the New York Post that he never claimed to be Jewish, which he definitely has. Instead, he said he referred to himself as Jew-ish, which is like literally a joke from before that he's using as his actual defense in the case of a big lie. There's lies I had forgotten about. For instance, I had fully forgotten that he claimed that four of his employees were killed in the Pulse nightclub shooting. He later said that four people were going to be coming to work at his company. But again, regardless, even if that's true, and we should not assume that it is, he is using four people's tragic death to make himself again seem sympathetic. It is so like Donald Trump when the towers fell and he said, well, I guess now my tower's the highest or whatever. Like, and then of course claiming that he helped out. It's trying to attach yourself to everything that happens in a way that benefits you. But then there's other lies that I didn't even know about until today. For instance, when his mother passed, according to a priest, they collected a bunch of money for the funeral and related expenses because according to George Santos, the mother didn't have any money and couldn't afford to deal with it. Remember, this is 5 years ago, and this is highly inconsistent with not only his own story of becoming a millionaire many years ago and working for all these places he didn't work for, but he says that she rose from absolutely nothing to be a top Wall Street CEO. So then why were you taking the donations because you desperately needed them because you had no money to do a funeral? Again, these are the sorts of things that I wouldn't want to ask about anyone, except he sort of has demanded it. And thankfully, at least, there is an investigation. Ann Donnelly, the DA of Nassau County, announced that they're going to be doing an investigation into numerous fabrications. A lot of these things, I can't imagine what law you'd be breaking, I suppose. But there are concerns about some. There's concerns about the way he spent some of the money his campaign brought in. He paid a company called Cleaner123 nearly $11,000, supposedly for housing for members of his staff, which would be legal. But lots of sources are saying he and his husband were in fact living there, which is not legal. You cannot spend the money to do that. I personally think the law should be changed, but that's what the law actually is. He spent $40,000 for air travel, which is not normal for a congressional candidate who isn't holding public office. That's a ton of money there. And there are also dozens of expenses that are specifically cited as being $199.99. Highly specific, also the exact cent below where there would be federal requirements for receipts to be provided. So something was being hidden there. The idea that this guy is just a liar and hasn't broken the law while being possible, I find to be unlikely. Or what do you think?
I want to credit the good journalists who called this guy out in the public eye. And I'm not talking about the people from the New York Times. I'm talking about the people from the North Shore Leader, a local conservative newspaper who endorsed pretty much every other Republican running. And in their October, I think it was 10th or 20th issue, when they were doling out their endorsements, they literally start off their endorsement saying, this newspaper would like to endorse a Republican for US Congress in New York 3, but the GOP nominee George Santos is so bizarre, unprincipled, and sketchy that we cannot. We endorse Democrat Robert Zimmerman. They call him Scamtos before this all came to light. And shame on the Democrats who did not find this stuff out and invest a dollar in a place that's not where like no one knew about this. People in the local area knew about it. They just didn't push.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually saw apparently that they broke it in September, and it's the sort of thing I would have loved to have seen, but you know, it's difficult. At least they were doing it and they're more conservative, so they deserve credit. And it's weird that like we're a couple of weeks into the George Santos thing, and this is the first I'm even hearing that they did break the story initially. Definitely deserve more credit for it.
I mean, there's a lot of people running for a lot of offices, but it's just ridiculous that this guy won. There's tons of liars in Congress. They all need to get called out, but this guy is so abjectly horrible that he needs extra special treatment.
Okay, I want to jump into a little bit of fun, one of the reactions, and attempt to explain what we're seeing from George Santos. Let's go to this first video.
Politicians do not believe they answer to a higher power. They're a reflection of an American society and culture that has abandoned any fear of God, any respect for God, any respect for our founding and the founding principles. This country was based on a fear and a respect and our rights coming from a higher power, from the Most High God. And we just don't have that anymore. So I was watching George Santos and he doesn't feel like he answers to anybody.
I mean, that is definitely true. But isn't it a little bit convenient that for Jason Whitlock, a conservative Republican lying a whole bunch to get elected by a party that is totally fine with their elected leaders lying constantly is not his fault. It's not conservatives' fault. It's certainly not Republicans' fault. It's godless, it's atheists, I guess. It's the libs. He needs to bow down before a higher power. The dude is claiming to be a member of multiple religions. I feel like he's hyper focused on religion. Why aren't you giving him credit for that, Jason Whitlock? But anyway, he has more to his theory. Let's jump into this.
And he certainly doesn't answer to the American people. He thinks they're stupid. But there was a time, I've lived long enough, when a man's word actually meant something. A handshake, you make a promise, you stand on. Those times are long past. They certainly don't exist in politics. And so I would ask every man, woman, child, anybody listening, why we don't have a political problem in America. We have a spiritual problem. Our spiritual resolve has been broken. And that's why everybody's comfortable lying, seizing power by any means necessary. And this is on both sides. Men who believe in God are our only hope.
That didn't seem to bother Tulsi at all, but none of it really did. She was just nodding along as if everything Jason Whitlock was saying was perfectly reasonable. It's one instance in which, you know, she was filling in for Tucker Carlson. It would have made a lot of sense for Tucker Carlson to be on there because his blank stare would have made sense considering what was being said by Jason Whitlock, where you can tell lies now because you're not afraid of God. It's a religious thing. It's not a political thing, which is convenient, especially for him to say. And here's why I say that. Let's go to this last clip.
But right now, if I just went with gut feeling, blood in, blood out, Trump in, Trump out, this is a gang, and I hate to use that analogy, but I'm not coming up off of this.
Okay, so Jason Whitlock wants you to believe that the reason George Santos feels like he can lie is because he's not afraid of God. I have an alternate explanation as to why he feels like he can tell insane lies and won't suffer any consequences. Jason Whitlock just demonstrated it. Donald Trump has told a billion lies constantly. And has it led to Jason Whitlock, a guy who wants you to believe that he thinks your word is the most important thing? He remembers when a handshake used to mean something. He's still supporting Donald Trump. He literally cited in the George Santos thing that people feel like they can seize power if they want because they're not afraid of God. He's supporting Donald Trump, the insurrection guy. I would say it is very much a political problem, a problem where people don't honestly seem to care if people are lying to them in their campaigns. And Jason Whitlock is very much a part of that group. Sorry, Brett, what do you think?
Well, the fact is that George Santos can't get people anything, right? The goal for most people when they interact with politics, there's two potential goals. There's either the goal that like, I want, it's transactional. I want to get something. A lot of people will put up with Donald Trump's lies, actually love it just because A, it's entertaining. I guess I should say the other thing. The other thing is just to be entertained, to feel like somehow they have control in a world where they might not have as much control as they want. And the control they, you know, they demonstrate is by essentially going, oh man, when someone has a sick burn, or like, you're stupid, when they see something popular that they don't want to be popular, and then they comment on it. Donald Trump gave them both of those things. Now, those same people are very religious typically, and they say that, like, oh, God is great and I need to, you know, revere him and live by his code so I can get into heaven or whatever. They're willing to put that aside because Trump was so entertaining, and also Trump got them the Supreme Court justices they needed to outlaw abortion.
Yeah.
So I want people to think about the caring coefficient. Like, how much do people actually care? They say, here's the thing I care about, but you gotta multiply it by something to get the actual amount of caring they have. I'd say, like, international relations, they say they care about it, they don't really care about it. They care about if they have a job or if they're saving the immortal souls of babies. That's most Republicans. And so the immortal souls of babies thing, they're in the minority on that. But when it comes to jobs and things that put food on the table and protect their family, they do care more about that. That is a high value caring that they have. Yeah. And in this situation, no one cares about Santos. They're willing to kick him out insofar as they can replace him with someone who will get them the transactional result that they want. If they
do that, that'll be worth something.
And I mean, and what Trump has done is essentially lengthen the fuse of how long people are willing to wait to see if a bomb goes off, right? Mm-hmm. The Trump, it used to be, you got caught in a certain kind of scandal, you would have to apologize, you would have to resign. People used to do that, like Nixon resigned. Trump just didn't. And so people are willing to put up with it longer. So the looking around to see if this guy actually has to go anywhere just takes longer in a post-Trump era.
Yeah, maybe. Well, let's talk briefly about one of the potential solutions to this. Representative Richie Torres has been a big critic of George Santos through this entire thing. Doesn't like that George Santos is still on track to hold his position despite all of these insane lies. And he believes he has a solution for it. I want to debate it. So he tweeted, I am introducing a bill to require candidates to disclose under oath their employment, educational, and military history so we can punish candidates who lie to voters about their qualifications. It will be called the Stop Another Non-Truthful Office Seeker, the Santos Act. That one's mildly funny. I don't generally like when politicians contort words to produce the acronym, but that one's not bad. Anyway, he says, if you lie about these specific things, then there could be some consequences, because right now there are not. And I think that that's, I don't know. I want politicians to be honest, but you could ask for very specific things. But people exaggerate. The issue with Santos is that he goes way beyond the normal sort of exaggeration or talking up of things that most people do. Like, how many things would you have to disclose? How specific would you have to be? That gets into an area where it makes me a little bit uncomfortable. I really wish that the solution should be that people care, and that they wouldn't trust him, they wouldn't support him, they wouldn't donate to him. That should be the mechanism for dealing with massive liars, but it's very rarely worked in recent American politics. Brett, what do you think about this plan?
I think it's trash. I don't think it's ever gonna happen. I think we do have all the mechanisms in place that will vet it. It's called an election. It is called the media. All the people out there should be able to access this information pretty accurately. And it is on, like, there's a process to see if people like it. And honestly, it's mostly jokingly, but like, this America, Jack, you're whoever you say you are, go for it. That you're never gonna fully eliminate that instinct that I overstated, but I think it's weird to have basically they're saying there should be a law when it's their failures that led to this. And so I think also this is not going to be, I think the conversation of America, if we're saying what 2022 was, it's the Trump is over party. And I think that the political calculus is going to be to say, all right, none of the people in Congress are going to open themselves up to some kind of like criminal penalty for exaggerating in a way that this very likely unenforceable act would create.
Yeah. Yeah, in the same way that a lot of the stuff about, you know, like changes to campaign finance or term limits, like you have to get people who have benefited in the current system to support that. It makes it unlikely that this would actually work. What I wonder about that Trump is over party is that Trump might well be over. He certainly seems to have taken a hit by 2022, but it's like his essence has just like been, it's just settling on everyone. Like, will there be more George Santoses? Like, what will the lesson of grifters be coming out of this? Will they feel like, oh, he got caught, so maybe I shouldn't risk it? Or will others see that he's probably still gonna hold office and think, well, there's so many candidates running, they can't look into all of them, why shouldn't I juice up my resume or whatever? So I'm a little bit worried about that. Anyway, with that said, we're gonna take our first break of the hour, see what all of you have been up to. And when we come back, Andrew Tate has been detained in Romania. We'll give you the latest after this. You can't tell me that like the only, like everyone with waves has them naturally. That's not how that works. You can add them.
I get ringlets, dude. I want
to see that. I want to see that.
Sure. Please go for it. I'll have it by the end of the show.
Okay. By the way, keep sending in your very unique garbage people of the year, because we're still waiting to get a good one to give out the Blue Apron gift card. And if we don't get one, then we'll just give it to someone else. But hopefully for that. Anyway, with that said, let's jump into one of the weirdest stories of the week, starting with this.
The Matrix has attacked you.
That is Andrew Tate being detained in Romania, as well as a number of other people. And we're still sifting through the information, and he's making certain claims about it. We're gonna debate what exactly this might represent and what the authorities are saying is going on. But first, I believe we have a little bit more video.
Release some greenhouse gases. I'm obviously a stranger to online controversy. It's not something I often do, but now, the mainstream press is commenting on the fact that I was informing Greta that my very extensive car collection with internal combustion engines, which run on dead dinosaurs, had an enormous emission profile. And she replied by telling me her own email address. Greta's email address is, I have small energy. Why would that be your own email address, Greta? Strange. I mean, also, I don't want to assume her gender. It's 50-50, but it is what it is. I'm not actually mad at Greta. Please bring me pizza and make sure that these boxes are not recycled. Thank you. So I'm not actually mad at Greta, right? Because she doesn't realize she's been programmed. She doesn't realize she's a slave of the Matrix. She thinks she's doing good.
Ugh, the reason we had to play that, because that obviously comes before the detention, is there is a theory going around that the pizza was instrumental in catching him. I don't know if that's true. The authorities are casting a bit of doubt on that the little QR code in the name of the company was involved. But I'm glad that the theory is out there, because it allowed Greta to get in one more tweet where she tweets, this is what happens when you don't recycle your pizza boxes, which I think is hilarious. But anyway, I also want to show you that video just because who is that impressing, honestly? Like, again, I'm glad that he made it for the tweet, and also because Jessica Burbank did a great impersonation of him on Instagram from that video. But who's being drawn in by that? You believe that guy has a good life? You think he's happy and satisfied? Anyway, as of right now, he is probably not happy, because he was hauled in. The authorities have detained him, as well as his brother Tristan and a couple of other guys, for supposedly human trafficking and forming an organized crime group. We're still learning the details on that. But a Romanian anti-organized crime unit is seeking authorization to hold him, his brother, and two other suspects for 30 days. The initial warrant was for 24 hours. One of the individuals, they're not saying who, at least as of when we're going live right now, was charged with rape as well. But there's not a lot of specifics here on exactly who is being charged with exactly which of the crimes and all that. We do know that Romanian prosecutors are saying that they've identified six people who are being held and being either forced to produce pornography or being assaulted by some one or more of these individuals. He's saying that he was swatted, that this wasn't, I guess, an organic investigation. Okay, maybe that's true. Maybe he's telling the truth. Anyway, Brett, the whole thing is disgusting. Everything involving him always will be. But what do you think about this?
I hope this is just one elaborate ad for Jerry's Pizza. You know what I mean? Sorry, I'm getting like skip frames. So yeah, I hope this is one giant elaborate ad for Jerry's Pizza. And I love that he thinks that this is impressive. He is totally like, let me get that pizza. I'm gonna nail it. I'm not sure you can recycle pizza box lids, but I do know one
thing. There's a lobbying group that says you can, actually.
Okay, good. I love it. I trust every lobbying group. Anyways, I love this. I love this story because it really is a microcosm of the internet in 2022, where every reasonable person is like, come on, dude. There's a lot of stuff that most human beings out there accept. Then there's other people who don't want to accept the world because the world hasn't accepted them. But they don't want to put forth any effort into understanding what it is about the world that rejects their behaviors and then analyzes whether that essential matrix is a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah.
Instead, they want to idolize anyone who makes them feel like they can have a path toward being worth it. Unfortunately, that person who offers them that path pretty much invariably is only successful and functions as a successful role model in their mind because that role model is just grifting off of these sad, disaffected D-bags.
Yeah, that's all.
Hilarious thing is all the people who are like, Andrew Tate, alpha sex traffic and go to jail for it. Like there's still stands out there who are gonna stand to the death of Andrew Tate, regardless of how horribly he handled this.
Yeah, and I don't know what the evidence is going to be, but I also know that it's irrelevant to those stands. They're gonna believe, they believe what he says, and what he says is that it's illegitimate. But look, I have more general things to say about him that I'll save for later in the show, not to be too specific. I don't wanna talk generally about him that much. But when the only thing that they can make money off of is selling you that you should be more like them, you should be a little bit more curious about that. You should look into that a little bit. Like the people who make a ton of money just teaching you how to sell real estate, why aren't they doing it then? If it's so easy, why aren't they making money off of real estate? Why are they making it off of telling you how to sell real estate? It's the same thing for these guys. They're not individually wealthy. They're wealthy only because they're telling you to give them money so you can learn how to be wealthy. Why doesn't that raise like red flags for people? I don't understand it. Anyway, while we can joke about different aspects of this and the story throughout the week has been hilarious, his weird attempts to one up Greta and his complete inability to do it is funny. The story at the end of the day is not funny. The things that they're being alleged to have done are as dark and as serious as anything. There are many victims to this. Some have already been discussed in the story. And then I also consider a lot of the guys who have been drawn in by these absolute loser grifters are victims in a different way. But anyway, we'll see what happens. He's claiming that he's just been swatted. I don't know what that has to do with anything. We'll see what the Romanian authorities have. And also how long they can hold him. In theory, he could be released very soon. We'll have to see, but we'll have updates. Okay, with that said, why don't we move to one more topic for now? Look, it's tough in America being young, trying to make money, knowing that the cost of regular goods is going up, rent is going up. It's almost impossible to imagine being able to own a home. So having some of the richest people in the country constantly insulting you is certainly insult to injury. Let's add one more insult. It's coming from the co-founder initially of Home Depot, Bernie Marcus, who said, nobody works. Nobody gives a damn anymore, and it's because of socialism, but not just because of socialism. He has a lot of explanations as to why all of you are lazy and don't work. He said, just give it to me, send me money. I don't want to work. I'm too lazy. I'm too fat. I'm too stupid. And he says that if he found it Home Depot today, it may not have been successful, I guess, because the potential workers are too stupid, fat, and or lazy. I don't know what some of these would have to do with motivation to work. And I don't know where these rich people think young unemployed people are making all of this money from the government that they think exists, but clearly doesn't. By the way, the US unemployment rate is at 3.7%, seems inconsistent with a nobody wants to work sort of thing. Anyway, I'm just so sick of this, Brett, at this point. This is a guy who has been fabulously wealthy for many decades, who has no idea what it's like to be young, to be navigating the gig economy, to be looking forward towards what your prospects are for retirement or home ownership. And so, I just hate it when they weigh in. We don't have the intro for When Billionaires Cry, but I feel like this is a good instance of it.
This is amazing. This guy just has no self-awareness. It is exactly, I'm gonna turn on, I'll fix it during the break.
He has I can't hear whatever you're hearing.
So no, it's I freeze frame. Okay. He has absolutely no self-awareness of what he seems like outside of everything else. I know, listen, this is a guy who really speaks to the everyman in America, everybody who is just struggling to get food on the table. Why wouldn't they go back into the mines? I mean, if this guy had his way, there would be no like protective masks for the person having to cut fiberglass or whatever, you know, cut, you know, running the sawmill in the back of the Home Depot. This guy thinks of every little bit of money he has to pay out to his employees as a major inconvenience for him. And the thought that over time, as society invents new technologies and theoretically is heading toward a better world, that other people besides him and his mega rich friends would want in on some of that subsistence living at least action, that makes him sick to his stomach. And he likes to engage in the same BS fake wordery as the rest of the right wing by saying socialism is at fault. Like that even remotely what we have in America. The only socialism we do have to a large extent is the giant handouts to companies like his when the economy incurs some kind of setback, where they give money to his major corporations so they can make it through the winter.
Yeah.
So stupid.
By the way, he has he's given tons of money to the GOP. You'll be shocked to find out. Mega donor, supported Trump in 2016 and 2020. He's donated something like $64 million that we know of to a number of different candidates. Not just Trump, but McCain and Rubio, Jeb Bush, Mitt Romney, Herschel Walker, by the way. He's very high standards for his candidates. He wants Herschel Walker in. Joe Manchin too. There's one or two Democrats on that list. So again, it's so hard being a billionaire. You can't count on your workers and everything, and you have $63 million to throw at a bunch of a-holes. It's a tough life. By the way, there's a statement.
Just know this is his negotiating position. It takes a lot of the like hatred I have for him away from it when I'm like, this is just his negotiating position. Mm-hmm. He wants you to think that if you want a raise, you're a psychopath.
Yeah.
Anti-American psychopath.
To do a little
it's
bit
a
better.
Good negotiating position, and it seems to work with Ben Shapiro, who I will remind you bought a dazzling board of poplar at the Inglewood Home Depot one day.
He did. One. But anyway, a statement put up by Home Depot, who wants to distance themselves clearly, says, our co-founder Bernie Marcus left the Home Depot more than 20 years ago, and his views do not represent the company. Yeah, I wouldn't want to
still shopping at Lowe's.
Yeah. It's not close to where I live, though. Ugh. Anyway, by the way, I just want to briefly mention, because I saw this and I was a little bit surprised by this. So Marcus and his wife, Billy, have also pledged to give away most of their estimated $8.9 billion fortune. In 2010, they signed the Giving Pledge, a commitment to donate most of their wealth to charitable causes, which is good. I don't know. I never want to give too much credit to the, it does seem a little bit social. I never want to give too much credit to the billionaires that do that, because like when you give something, it's good because you're willing to let someone else have it rather than you have it, right? Like if I gave every cent that I have right now to a cause, you'd be like, oh my God, that's amazing. You're gonna totally go without so that they can have. But if I know that I'm not gonna be able to use it anyway, it's like charity, but only kind of. Am I wrong? Am I the bad guy?
Oh no, it makes me so mad is when these people don't give it to their kids. That's the problem that I have. Isn't that weird? I don't know. There's something about it. It's like, give it to your family. Family is important. If you guys are talking about how important family is, give it to your family. Don't just get, because, and the main point that I guess I do have to make is that I doubt that his charitable causes will actually benefit the planet. Like you can give it to a 501c3 that makes women look at their ultrasound before you give them the abortion services. You basically lied to them about you providing, which you'll never provide because you're not the kind of company who does that. You might give to a charitable organization that elects Republican judges and Republicans all over the place. Like that's just a classification. It doesn't mean it has any class.
Yeah. Anyway, look, I think if you want a lot of credit, like give the money before you die. Give it like, and then live like a regular like middle class lifestyle or something for the last 15 years of your life. That's not actually the end of the world.
And also this guy who says no one wants to work at Home Depot has literally never been outside a Home Depot. There's people that are like, I will help you.
Yeah. Work. Yeah. That's a good point. Anyway, with that said, we should probably take our last break of the hour. When we come back, we're gonna be diving into insider trading, which is gonna be continuing off into the foreseeable future. We'll give you the details after this. Okay, hold on. Lone Wolf says, Iderola's hair is the Men's Warehouse company cut, and I salute his bravery in these tough times.
Nope. John's just showing up to take your daughter to homecoming in 1999. That's what John looks like.
Is that?
All right, I'm having more freeze frames. Let me switch cameras.
Jesus. Anyway, okay. Well, with that, we're gonna jump into our news. One thing that is both bipartisan and enduring in Congress is insider trading. We're gonna get into this conversation and talk about the many, many people that have gamed the system this year. But I wanna remind you of one thing that happened not long ago. Take a look at this.
Madam Speaker, the stock trade ban legislation, it's uniquely had broad bipartisan support, but we've been talking about this since February. Why has it taken 8 months? And given the fact that the media, including most recently the New York Times, launched an investigation citing 97 lawmakers and potential violation, with many of them failing to report under the Stock Act, should there be greater penalties in the legislation that you do put forward for people to be found in violation?
Here's the thing, members have been working on this. Just because somebody introduces a bill doesn't mean it becomes the law of the land. There's been discussion about it, and this morning, the committee, we've been going back and forth and they were refining things and talking to members about what they think will work. And we believe we have a product that we can bring to the floor this month.
Yeah, so no, it didn't happen and it's not going to happen. The Democrats are ending their time without passing anything to fundamentally change the way that members of Congress can use insider information that they have to personally enrich themselves. And in theory, the Republicans could take it up, that chance of that happening. And so it is a little bit convenient that Nancy Pelosi, who was initially super sensitive when you'd bring up the fact that she'd made so much money and had access to all this information, and said that the law didn't need to change, then all of a sudden had a change of heart, dragged out the process, and now nothing is gonna happen. That is a very convenient thing. And it leaves us with the status quo, which allowed for a lot of financial shenanigans. And I wanna give credit, as we so often do, to Dave Leventhal and the team at Insider, who has been constantly on this beat for several years now, identified recently 77 members of Congress who've recently failed to properly report their financial trades as mandated by the Stop Trading on Congressional Knowledge Act of 2012, the Stock Act, which we've made many videos about. So Congress passed the law a decade ago to combat insider trading and conflicts of interest among their own members and force lawmakers to be more transparent about their personal financial dealings. A key provision of the law mandates that lawmakers publicly and quickly disclose any stock trade made by themselves, a spouse, or a dependent child. But many members of Congress every single year don't comply with the law. And why would they? There is basically no issue if you don't. There can be a very minor fine that often isn't even levied. And think about this. This law is basically all we have. It's a paper shield. It doesn't stop you from using insider information to do stock trades. The idea is supposed to be that, okay, you'll use the information, but then we get to know the trades that you make. So in theory, if the public was watching, they could make the same moves, but they don't even comply with that. And so effectively, there's nothing to stop them from using this information and leaving the public in the dark. Brett, what do you think?
No, this is if I were to do pitch a segment, I would call it this. And it would be just, this is the moment of Leo DiCaprio smoking a cig and just being like, that is what's wrong with Congress. This is exactly what's corrupt. The fact that these fools are just being like, you know what? Honestly, there's nothing we could do. Clock ran out. I can't believe we forgot to take our shot at this. No, you guys are acting on information that only you have. I say we completely shift this. We say, once you're elected, we're gonna give you $170,000 a year. That's your salary. And you know what? We're gonna put you on a bonus structure. We're gonna invest you largely in the economy of the United States of America. Maybe the economy of your district. What did you do for your district to make your district's economy grow more? And we'll bonus you out. That's your dividend from the America Fund.
I hate it.
It's like, I told you I cheated. That's their defense. Yeah. Well, we have to tell you if we cheat. No, how about we don't let you cheat?
So at all. And again, we keep making this case, and I'm glad that there have been some elected representatives. AOC was on this beat for a while, pushing for, like, you have decided to go in and serve. That's the term that we used. You're gonna serve in Congress. It's service. It's not gain. I'm not gonna go gain in Congress. I mean, that's what they literally do. But the idea that there would be some restrictions on what you can do, that seems like the most reasonable thing in the world. And by the way, the attempts to change the law haven't even been, you can't invest at all. You could still invest, and you can do kind of a version of what Brett is talking about. You can do investments into mutual funds and things like that, things that track like whole sectors, all of that, whatever. You can do that. You just can't invest in specific companies. That's madness. As Brett said, yes, it's like any person knows that. Any person sees how reasonable that is. But they're making tons of money. And so why would they change it? Why would they change the law? And why would they comply with the law? To give you an example of how this can work. One representative, Diana Harshbarger, Republican from Tennessee, failed to disclose more than 700 stock trades, together almost $11 million in trading activity. And let's say that they don't get rid of the investigation, that they don't waive the fee. What could the fee be? It'd be $200. Why would you abide by that? Again, unless it's more than what you gain, there is no reason to abide by it. You would just factor that into the price of doing illegal business, or what should be illegal business.
Like letting the Russian team tell you what, like not outlawing the steroids, but being like, yeah, I brought those steroids. I'm on those steroids. You can't do the steroids. You can't even really understand what steroids, like when I went into this decision process, but I'm on steroids now. You're not. Yeah. Good luck to you.
Oh, and here's your $200. So here are my steroids, and here's the $200, and now I'm gonna do the steroids. It doesn't make any sense. Imagine if they were to like expel a dozen members of Congress for insider trading or whatever, and then ban it. That would be such a strong signal to the American people that they care about corruption and are trying to stop it. And so, of course, that will literally never happen. Yep. Anyway. By the way, you should definitely go to Insider. You can find Dave's most recent work. I mean, they talk about this fairly constantly. It's 77 members of Congress. That's right now. It's every single year. And even though the media has been covering it, remember how we said, you know, with George Santos, they should have been on the beat? There are people on this beat. Just so far, there hasn't been the will to actually do anything about it because the pressure hasn't been there. Anyway, with that said, that is the end of our first hour of our show. Thank you everyone who's been watching or listening on the podcast. As always, much appreciated. But on the aftermath, We're going to be throwing away not only our garbage people of the week, but our garbage people of 2022, talking about some honorable mentions. And I do want to point out one good person too. So we'll get to that and more after this.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.